What a joy to come together as people who love God to glorify Him and also to worship Him. I believe God has been so wonderfully working in our lives. We have been blessed and the Lord has been working and also leading us in wonderful ways. Thank you for taking time to join us in this worship. We pray that God will continue to bless us as we listen to God's word, as we come together for a time of Holy Communion. I want to invite you to turn with me to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 1. And today, we want to look at from verses 3 to 11 on the theme of firm confidence. As we reflect on this particular passage, we want to ask ourselves, where is our confidence today? Where is our faith today? And where are we leaning on today? Paul writes this beautiful letter as a letter of encouragement, a letter showing gratitude, and also a letter of rejoicing. But as you begin to dwell in this particular letter, you also realize it gives us opportunity for us to reflect in what God has been doing in our lives. Let's pray and ask God to bless us as we spend some time together. Father, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you, Lord, that we can come in your name, a name which is above every other name of God. We thank you for who you are. We pray as we listen to your word, Lord, speak to us, O God. Help us, Lord, to hear your voice. In Jesus' most wonderful name we pray. Amen. You know, many of you would affirm that these few months of our lives, things have been quite different. Sometimes we would tend to use the word, it's a new normal altogether. As we look back, some of us would say, you know, I do not know how, you know, all these months have passed by. It was a real time of experience. Some of you would affirm by saying, you know, God has been, you know, working in our lives in an unexpected way. That God has been so wonderful. Maybe this past few months gave you opportunity for you to refocus about life. It gave you opportunity about to think about what is important about life and also about life is short. To some of us, it also gave us opportunity, you know, to reach out to people who need our love, who need our care, and also to share in their pain. Or maybe some of us have been recipients of, you know, God's blessing through our friends, through our families, and also through our relatives. The passage that we read today is Paul's letter to the church. And he writes this letter, a letter which is just filled with encouragement. He's just encouraging the church. A letter that filled with gratitude, with thanks to God for who God is. He's just rejoicing when he writes this letter. Can you imagine writing this letter from a prison? He's just rejoicing. And the same note, you know, when you look at this letter, you realize it gives us opportunity for us to reflect about our spiritual life, our spiritual journey. The passage that we just read to us, we see about the past, the present, and also the future. Just to give you a background about this letter, you know, Paul established this church in Philippi approximately 10 years, you know, prior to meeting them again or writing to them again. It was just during his second missionary journey, which we read in Acts chapter 16, that Paul established the church. And now he's writing to the church from Rome. Paul was not sure whether he's going to meet them again. He's far, around 800 miles, you know, removed from them. But the church has not forgotten the ministry of Paul. Similarly, when you look at the passage, you know, the way that Paul writes this letter, it's a wonderful and a loving letter. He has not forgotten the church. Nor the church of which we know have ministered to Paul, like the church at Philippi. They have been so wonderfully just partnering along with him. You know, as we reflect, we tend to see wonderful things. I like to echo the words of the Ignatius of Loyola, he said, to find God in all things. You know, even in our past, we see God working in our lives. It's the way Paul sees in this particular passage. In the present, he sees God working in our lives. And God wants to continue to work in our lives in the future too. Firstly, let's look at verses 3 onwards. Paul starts by this letter by saying, you know, I'm thankful. In verse 3, he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. Oh, what a beautiful way of starting. He says, I thank God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. You know, Paul starts the letter by saying, thank you, God. Though it is traditionally in the ancient world, a letter always begins with thanksgiving, a note of appreciation. But Paul, in this particular letter, he is making a very profound statement. He's not just saying thank you, but he says, I thank my God. In essence, when you look at the word in verse 3, you know, the way Paul is saying, he says, I'm so deeply grateful to God for you. I'm so greatly grateful. The verb thank you or thanks is in the present tense, in which you read that I'm always and I'm continuing to be thankful to God for you. In other words, Paul is saying, you know, I cannot get you out of my mind. You're always in my thoughts because you've been so wonderfully working in my life and God has blessed me through you. Remember, there were days, you know, when my wife and I were in America, and when we were there, there were certain families who were there for us and just coming around, helping us, being with us, encouraging us. And we always treasure their friendship. You know, it's always wonderful to remember such people because they've come to be there for us. I like the words of William Shakespeare. You know, he says, oh God, that lends me light, life. He says, lend me a heart replete with thankfulness. He says, Lord, give me a heart that I'll be just grateful. You know, when you look at this particular verse, you know, it's very interesting because Paul says he's thanking God. He's thanking God. Why? Because it shows about the providence of God. Not only God controls things, but God cares for things. He sustains. God is not just sovereign out there, but God is there comforting us, guiding us through his people. And so Paul is just thanking God because God has been using the church in Philippi to minister to him. So in other words, Paul is saying, it's ultimately what God has done. And so he says, Lord, I thank you for the people that you have given me. And you have been so wonderful, Lord, to bless me with people who just partnered in my ministry. When I was just reading this particular passage, I was just reminded of this beautiful hymn. I think many of us are very familiar with this particular hymn, written by Johnson Altman Jr. It says, count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessing. See what God has done. When you look very closely in the hymn that Johnson Altman wrote, you realize there are certain beautiful words that he's using. He says, when we start counting our blessings, we will be surprised. We will be singing. You know, he uses words like rewarded and we are comforted. I believe, you know, during the time that we have gone through, the time of, you know, this crisis of pandemic time, it has really affected many of our lives, right? It has affected the way we do things. But I trust, you know, God has been so wonderful that he was able to bless us through our friends, through our families who are there for us. Like the hymn writer, I think it is important for us to count and name them one by one. As Paul was grateful to God for the people who partnered with him, it will be wonderful for each and every Christian to count the blessings that God has given to us through the people that God has provided in our life. Maybe it's a good opportunity for us as we hear this word of God, right, to maybe make a call to someone who has been blessed you, who are there for you to give words of encouragement, to pray for you over the phone, or even they may have sent an email to you just to see how are you going on. I think it's important for us, as Paul has mentioned, because when we bless others, when we thank people for what they've been doing, we're just not only grateful, but we are just thanking God for who God is in our lives. You know, I agree with Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He said, in ordinary life, we hardly realize that we receive a great deal more than we give. And that is only with gratitude that life becomes rich. He says, life becomes rich when we begin to have gratitude in our life. And so Paul starts by saying, you know, I'm thankful. I'm thankful to God for all the people that God has given in my life. You know, secondly, when you look at the passage, you know, Paul is not only thankful to God, but he says, I'm confident. In verse 6, if you read, he says, being confident of this, that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, who began a good work in you, will bring it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Now see the kind of confidence that Paul is having on the Lord Jesus Christ, because he knows that God is one not only who starts or begins, but he finishes whatever he starts, my friend. I think God is not going to stop working in and through us, no matter what the circumstances may be. God wants to and continues to work in our lives. And that's what Paul is trying to tell us. And so when you read in this particular passage, you know, he is saying that God is going to continue with the good work that you've been doing. Two things that he's mentioning here. Firstly, he says, you know, what is the good work that we see here? What was the good work the church was doing? Firstly, they had love for his work. In other words, the church had love for God's work. Because they received the Lord Jesus Christ into their life, they experienced the salvation, which was a free gift to them, and they wanted to share the good news. And so they partnered in the gospel with this apostle. Even though times were difficult for them, it was trying for them. There were seasons of difficulties, but they came along like a honeycomb, just overflowing with honey. It was just, they were just pouring their support, their encouragement, and they were there with Paul as he was sharing the good news of the gospel. They labored with him and they partnered with him. What a powerful reminder for each and every one of us, right? That this man of God was grateful to God. And so he says, I'm confident that God who began a good work in you, it is not going to stop, and God will continue, because that is the work and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, when you look at this particular word, you also realize that they had love for his life. In other words, you know, the good works was because of their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul is saying that I know that God will continue to work in your life, you know, and today we call the word sanctification, that he will shape us into the image of God. And that is what Paul is just telling himself and reminding the church, that God is doing a good thing in your life, not only through happy experiences, but also in difficult and challenging moments of our life. God is working in our life. As a potter who works on the clay, God is working in our life through in our attitudes, in our actions, in our reactions, my friend. He's just working in our life. Romans 8:28, a very familiar passage to many of us, right? And Paul says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So everything that God does when we are doing his work, his things, no matter it might be challenging, but God has a plan. And the next verse, if you read, you know, it says in verse 28, it to be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. Let's look at the last thing that Paul is saying. He says, I'm thankful, I'm confident. And then he says, and this is my desire. I desire for you. He's not just asking God to bless them, but he's asking God for a different kind of blessing. And he's praying to God from verses 9 to 11. He says, and this is my prayer. And so Paul says, this is what I've been praying for. This is what I long for each and every one of you, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And so Paul is praying for Christian love, for Christian character. He's praying that they will be excellent in their service for Christ and in their Christian walk, my friend. In summary, he is saying, Lord, rekindle them again. Rekindle them again. Now, many a times when we pray for people, we just pray for God's blessings, right? We pray for God's protection. But how wonderful if each and every one of us, not only when we pray for ourselves and when we pray for people, if we can echo the words of Paul, the way he was praying, it would be wonderful. What was the prayer of Paul in verse 9? You realize he's praying for more love. He says that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. He says that your love will continue to grow, not because their love is not growing, but he is praying that their love will continue to be active, my friend. He's using a present tense here. That it will be more and more, overflow. They will become great and make a difference in the life of people. And this love, right, should grow in knowledge and in the depth of insight. In other words, you know, Paul says that it will be guarded by knowledge. That the Bible, the Word of God, will be the compass for them, my friend. It will be a right moral compass or principle for them to guide them. In other words, they will do what the Word of God has been informing them. And so, as Paul mentions in Romans chapter 10, verse 2, right, he says about zeal for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. And so, knowledge is important, knowledge of God's Word. We need to be guided by God's Word. And he's also praying that there will be insight. In other words, they needed wisdom. They needed to know what is right, what is wrong, what is good, and what is bad. That God will continue to give them the wisdom. That they will grow in that kind of love for one another. And secondly, he's also praying for more life. He's praying that they will be pure and blameless for the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, he says their life will be much more pure, sincere, blameless. In other words, Paul is just referring to about the inward and outward parts of their life. They will be genuine. They will be walking the way Jesus was walking or living the way Jesus was living. They will not cause people to stumble, my friend. But Christians will live a life of integrity in order not to cause others to sin. And thirdly, when you look at it, he's also talking about, you know, more fruit. More fruit. And he uses the word that they will be filled with the fruit of righteousness. You know, it appears several times in the Bible. And that is what Paul is praying. Even in Galatians in chapter 5, 22 to 23, Paul lists the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, Paul is praying that there'll be more fruit. They will be just showing the love of Jesus Christ. You know, when you look at scripture, the Lord reminds us in John 15, 5, right? Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And notice, you know, this comes only through Jesus Christ. Without Christ, we can do nothing. And that's what Paul is reminding the church. He says that comes through Jesus Christ. You know, when I read this particular word, it reminds me that this man of God had spiritual goals, my friend. All of us have goals in our life. We aim for certain things. We want to acquire certain things in our life. And this was his spiritual goal. And this was his spiritual goal, not only for his life, but also the life of the believers. He's praying there will be more life, more fruit, right? There will people who will be just living the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. Dear friends, how do we pray for people today? Are we praying like the way this man of God has been praying? As he prayed for these people, that they will have more love, they will have more life, they will be sincere, they will be blameless in the sight of God, there will be more fruit. I think it's important for us not only to echo the words of Paul, but it should be our prayer, even for our spiritual life, our spiritual goal. You know, before we take the communion, I thought it would be, let me share with you a story, you know, that I read about from E. Stanley Jones. E. Stanley Jones told a story about a missionary who lost his way in the African jungle. So this missionary was unable to find any landmarks, and the trail that he traveled before has actually vanished. And he was just struggling, and finally he landed in a small hut. He asked the native living there if he could help him and lead him out from this particular place. The native nodded by saying, "Yes, I'm willing." And immediately, you know, this native walked into the bush, and the missionary was trying to follow him. And they were just walking and walking. It was almost an hour. In the midst of a dense wall of grasses, you know, and trees, and there was no path, and this man was walking. For a moment, this missionary was confused and worried. And he called the native and said, "You know, are you sure this is the way? Because I don't see any path. Are you sure that this is the way? Because I don't see any path." The natives smilingly said to the missionary, "Bhavana," he said, "in this place there is no path. I am the path. In this place there is no path. I am the path." I think this is what the Lord Jesus Christ is reminding us again, my friend. Today we live in a world, we hear different voices, we are exposed to different kinds of ideologies, you know, ways of defining life. But Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And because Jesus is the Lord and Savior of this apostle's life, he was thankful to God because he knew that God was just being with him. God was in the past, and God is in the present, and God is going to be with him in the future, my friend. And Jesus is the path for us. God is so wonderful. He wants to lead us, my friend, that every moment of our life we'll be able to thank God for who he is. Then whatever situations we might be in, we will know that God is in control, and we know that he is leading us, so that you and I can experience the joy, the peace, and the eternal life that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we spend some time to think about the Holy Communion that we are going to take today, the Holy Communion is a powerful reminder. It's a powerful reminder about who God is. He is the way. He is the path, my friend. Every time we take the communion, you're reminded of this word, right? Do this. Jesus commanded the disciples by saying, "Do this." It is not just the breaking and the giving of the bread of the cup, but taking and blessing and giving thanks to God for what we have received from God through His creation, through His redemption, and also His work in our life, my friend. And so in different churches, different words have been used. In certain traditions, we use the word Holy Communion because we gather around the table to have fellowship with God and to have fellowship with one another. In certain traditions, we use the word Holy Sacrament because it's a pledge from God of His continued presence in our life. And some, they use the word Eucharist. It means to give thanks. We thank God for what He has done and continues to do in our life, my friend. And sometimes we use the word Lord's Supper because we focus on the one who invites us to the meal, the one who offers us the bread of life and the cup of salvation. And even today, the Lord is inviting us. He says, come. Come, follow me. Because when we follow Him, we will be like Paul. We will echo the words of Paul. I am thankful. And I am confident because I know who the Lord Jesus is. And not only that, my friend, right? We will always know that God is leading us through. And we know our real desire. Let me read John chapter 5 as we prepare to take the communion. John chapter 6, 53 to 58 onwards, and let me read the words of Jesus to the disciples. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats My flesh and drinks My cup as eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." In verse 55, he says, "For My flesh is real food, and My blood is real drink. Whoever eats My flesh and drinks My blood remains in Me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent Me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on Me will live because of Me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever eats on this bread will live forever." Let's take a moment to quieten our hearts and thank God for who God is in our life. Thank God for the love that we experience each and every moment, the people that God has brought into our lives. We thank God for the good work He's doing in our lives, that and God is faithful, and help, let's be our prayer that we will be faithful. And thank God because He's coming back again. The communion reminds us He wants to bring us back, that we will spend eternity with Him. The body of Christ, broken for us, my friend. Let's partake together. The blood of the new covenant. Let's partake together. Father, we thank You, Lord. We thank You for Your love. We thank You, Lord, for dying on the cross for us. And we thank You, Lord, that You are with us, working in our lives, Father. We thank You because the God we worship is faithful. And help us, Lord, to be faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.